Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and I'm talking about the Billy Meier case this morning. Actually, it's a Saturday morning, and I just decided I would dive in and share with you what I've been learning and how things are going. The Might of Thoughts book, and if people have, I guess I always have to be wary of people that are new to the show, people I think also that aren't new to the show that have heard the information before, sometimes need to reconnect to establish a clear picture in your mind about what's going on here. One of the things that Billy talks about, and I'll tell you who Billy is in a moment, is that we need to learn to clarify our thoughts, because if you clarify your thoughts, they become more valuable to you. Billy Meier, his real name is Edward Albert Meier. He's 80 years old right now, and he lives in Switzerland in a beautiful tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti, which is nestled in the pine forests and the mountains of northern Switzerland. He lives very close to nature, because we really all should live close to nature. We're a planet that's on the wrong path, and our evolution has been disturbed, and we're heading down the path of self-destruction. And we're destroying ourselves by wrong thinking, and our wrong thinking is manifesting in many things around the world, many problems, overpopulation, corruption in government, corruption in religions, which is what I've been doing a couple shows here recently on, is the gay, homosexual, drug parties that are taking place in the Vatican, and the police are actually starting to crack down on these things now. It's really just a manifestation of a society that's not living according to the creational natural laws. And maybe since I advertised the show as attitude and stance being the most important factors in regarding problem solving, maybe that's something I'll go over real quick. But just so you know, Billy Edward Albert Meier is a contactee, and he's written over 40 books. And one of these books that I've been going through, and this is like my sixth time through this book, is a book all about how we control our thoughts so that we can be effective in our lives. It's a very down-to-earth, very practical book. It has incredible importance. And it's one of these things that I think can save us from our self-destruction. And on page 374, it says, the most important thing regarding problems, errors, and difficulties is the stance that we take when we go to solve a problem. And the right stance determines the form in which errors and problems and so forth are seen and judged, and how they are thought about. So when you have a problem that you're facing, you should look at that problem as a challenge to your inventive power. And the stance, your stance is your mental or your emotional position with respect to something. And same thing with your attitude. Attitude is your predisposed mental state. So when you're facing a problem, you need to have what's called a neutral, positive thinking. And that's harmony in your thinking. And there are six things that come from this book that you should constantly be telling yourself in order to maintain this neutral, positive thinking. You just need to tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm cheerful, I'm relaxed, I'm enthusiastic, and I'm thankful. So if you will say these things to yourself, you can break the flow of unhealthy and negative thinking. And whoever has negative thoughts will soon allow himself to be controlled by those thoughts. Negative thoughts, they grow wildly like weeds in a garden. So we have to identify when we're thinking negative thoughts, because what you think, you make real. And what the human thinks about himself, he becomes. And this is a very important. Our thoughts are so powerful. And our lives, the circumstances of our lives, are never because of some kind of tyranny that we're under. Even though we face some things that seem unfair at times, it's really up to your own thinking. Because good thoughts lead to good feelings. Good feelings lead to good habits. And good habits lead to good circumstances in your life. Good habits. One of the habits that I've just developed, I don't know, I didn't consciously think about it. It was reading this book every morning, just reading a little bit of this book every morning, and then starting to write down some of the things that it says. And then by establishing this habit, I noticed that I started to be able to finally be able to control my thoughts a little bit better. So whenever you feel the onslaught of negative thinking, tell yourself, I'm confident. Because one of the two aspects that we break down a lot in our thinking is confidence and optimism. And you always need to tell yourself you're confident. Now, why are you confident? So, and this is where we come in with the clarifying our thoughts. And you'll have to fill in your own clarification about why you're confident. But some of the things you could tell yourself is, I'm a determined person. Right? Regardless of what your skill level is, I persevere. I'm determined. So, and that's why I'm confident in myself. If you're a person who has a certain skill level in this area of the problem that you're working on, you say, I've had experience in this area. That's another reason to be confident. So you have to clarify why you feel confident and clarify why you're optimistic. And you need to be telling yourself these things. So we're trying to build confidence and optimism. You should be confident, optimistic, cheerful, relaxed, enthusiastic. Now, enthusiasm is so important. Enthusiasm is you can re-educate your whole self using just the principle of enthusiasm. Enthusiasm will take you from a person who's depressed to a person who's really excited and enjoying his work. And that's what we should be doing. We should be enjoying our work. We should be enjoying our lives. And one of the ways to enjoy your life is to break the flow of unhealthy thinking. And optimism will break the flow of unhealthy thinking. You really are the master of your own destiny. You're the master of your own life. You're not a victim of circumstances. You can overcome these circumstances. Whatever the difficulty that you're facing in your life, you can overcome it because our thoughts have incredible power. Now, there's always a negative and a positive, and these two powers belong together and they work together and they never allow themselves to be separated. One is dependent on the other. However, we try a lot of times to eliminate the negative. And that's when we get upset, because we realize we can't eliminate the negative. The negative is a part of this harmony that is formed with the positive. They're they're different aspects in some ways of the same thing. Now, the purpose of our lives is evolution, the evolution of our thinking ability, our conscious evolution. That's why we're here. That's why we go through the circumstances of our life. And I feel compelled a little bit to talk about reincarnation again. I talk about this a lot. I think it changes your whole outlook on life, and it changes your whole attitude, and it opens your mind . We have in our middle brains, in an area called the superior colliculus, something called the human spirit. And the human spirit is that you can think of it, operationally speaking, as a fragment of the universal consciousness. There is a universal consciousness, a superintelligence, but which is not a God. See, our religions have turned it into a heavenly father. It's not a heavenly father. It's not going to save you or judge you or put you in a heaven or a hell. You are the master of your own destiny. You are the smith of your own destiny. You are responsible for the negative, for the success, for the failure of your own life. And your thoughts are incredibly powerful. They are fueled by this human spirit. And the human spirit is literally a fragment of the universal consciousness. So if you think correctly, which is neutral, positive, harmony, your thoughts will have incredible power. Now, there's a guy, and I'm just throwing this out as a strange example of a person who has learned the power of negative, neutral, positive thinking. Not negative and not overly positive either. His name is Conor McGregor, and 5 years ago, let's say, he was on welfare in Ireland, and he was an MMA fighter. Well, and he talks about visualization all the time. He doesn't know what he's doing, but he's doing exactly what the Meyer material is talking about. He has gone from an MMA fighter on welfare in Ireland to a international star in about 5 years. He's now fighting Floyd Mayweather for, and who knows how much he's making, $20, $30 million for this fight. It's a ridiculous fight. The whole thing is contrived and nonsensical, a boxer fighting an MMA fighter, but he's done it through the power of his thinking. That's how he's done it, and it's really an amazing case study. So, book is in many ways the keys to the kingdom. Now, whether you think about Billy as a hoaxer or whether you think he's crazy or whatever, that's up to you. I don't care. But I'm telling you, if you read this book, and you can order it at theyfly.com through Michael Horn, and he'll make the order for you. Otherwise, you'll have to go to one of the Figu sites, which is a little more complicated. And I've never done that yet. But I'm telling you, I've read four of Billy's books, if you include The Goblet of Truth. This particular book that I'm talking about is called The Might of Thoughts. I honestly think this is my number six times I've been through this book. It's so densely packed with information, and it's a life changer. We all have a lot of unhealthy thoughts that we don't recognize. And one of the things we need to learn to do is correcting those unhealthy thoughts, because it can have a tremendous change in your life. Now, I wanted to talk about reincarnation. You can tell my thinking is kind of going a little all over the place. This human spirit is in the middle of your brain, in the area called the superior colliculus. It's a fragment of the universal consciousness. It never dies. A horrible analogy would be the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not a good analogy. It's confusing. This human spirit is you. It's your inner eye. It's your spiritual self. It's the powerhouse of your spiritual consciousness. And we have both a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness as a human being. Your material consciousness is temporal. It's who you are in this particular lifetime. It had to grow up again. It was a child. It had to be reeducated, had to learn to think, had to learn to talk, had to learn to walk again. Your spiritual consciousness, the spirit form, is in the background. Your spiritual consciousness has had many lifetimes. It's neutral positive. It's in communication with this universal consciousness because it's kind of one and the same thing. And this universe that we live in works in a neutral positive way. It thinks in a neutral positive way. The universal consciousness, I don't even know that I should use the word think, because that's a little limiting. We as human beings think. The universal consciousness is the super intelligence. And I think sometimes it's good to talk about this, to try to grasp it to a degree, but we'll never be able to completely grasp it. It has certain principles. There are certain what are called creational natural laws. One of these laws is love. Not this gushy, romantic love that a lot of songs are written about. You know, the guy loves the girl, they break up, he's heartbroken, or vice versa. Love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. And the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And creation radiates love. And we as human beings can come up against the radiating love of creation at every moment, at every place, all the time if we're open to it. But because we turn away from this radiating love of creation, our lives feel difficult and very hard. And then we start to think in a way that's not healthy. And whoever has negative thoughts will soon allow himself to be controlled by them. So what we're trying to do in this program is to learn to think in a way that will work with this universal consciousness. So therefore, in every regard, the human being must trust in himself or herself and in his power and his might. And the human being needs to constantly practice being himself or herself and feeling his or her own power so he can again and again renew himself in what's called our Wesen in the German and his or her powers. The Wesen is a kind of a general, generic German term that refers to a living, thinking being with personality. Now, the Wesenheiten, as it's called in the German, is the universal consciousness, for example, is a Wesenheiten. And it doesn't really, although it radiates this magnificent love and creates universes, it doesn't really have a personality the way that we have a personality. It doesn't get discouraged. For example, it has worked 46 trillion years at building this universe. and it never got discouraged. It never got negative in its thinking. It just continued and continued and continued and never stopped. And maybe that's how we should be, because we need to develop this harmony in our thinking. And we need to guide our thoughts away from gloomy, illusionary pictures. And if we do that, then the human being emerges from this procedure, which is visualization, entirely changed, and changed for the better. So feelings must be, your thoughts and feelings must be steered in neutral positives. So whenever doubts surface in any form, they must be regarded as obstacles. Obstacles, only obstacles. Do not clarify your doubts. Don't clarify your negative thoughts. Clarify your positive thoughts. You need to start setting zeals, which are ultimately culmination points for you. And I talked about love there a little bit. And love, we're not talking about an emotional love or a feeling-based love. We're talking about an all-embracing and all-calming creational love that knows no suffering and no pain. So I've done this just by pure luck, I guess you could say, or that I gravitated towards this concept of love in the Meyer teaching. And if you focus on love, and you should recognize that everything in the entire universe is one. So that's where you start to understand this, what love really is. And your consciousness will start to evolve. And you'll start to develop a balance internally instead of an imbalance. And you'll start to think independently. And what do I mean by that? I think that's a concept of people in our day and age have lost, because everyone's thinking, we're allowing ourselves to be brainwashed. There's a very dark elite that control the world, and there's just a lot of people that are lost, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to control their thoughts, and we're all that way, really. What a blessing to have information like this. So you can develop your independent thinking, because more and more our thinking is stunted, because we live in a consumer society where everything comes from the television, the radio, the newspapers, the magazines, and the books. And we don't think independently. You don't need someone to tell you what your point of view is. And somehow the prophecies that are in the Meyer material help us to think independently. And if you can learn to think independently, you'll slowly find and recognize the truth. And the truth is that your thinking is very powerful. And your might as a human being is anchored in the power of your thought. And the human being truly is the forger of his or her own destiny. And your external circumstances of your life will slowly change the more you practice thinking in a neutral, positive way. Tell yourself, I'm optimistic, I'm confident, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, and I'm thankful. And you'll find it even helps your health. So continually practice this. These are the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. Now, Billy Meyer is an 80-year-old man now, but when he was a very, very young boy, he had some pretty amazing experiences, including, I mean, his whole life has been filled with these experiences. When he had just turned 4 years old, on February 3rd in 1941, even farther north in Switzerland, near an area called Bulach, Switzerland, he lived in an area called Niederflux. His address was 1253 Niederflux. And it was surrounded by two sets of mountain ranges, the Eichen, Moser, and the Bruder Mountains, as well as by forests and wide meadows and fields. And he had a very strong urge at a very young age to learn a lot. And he was guided by Pastor Rudolf Zimmermann, the minister of the Reformed Church of the municipality of Bulach. And Rudolf Zimmermann played a important role in Billy's guidance. So Billy learned at a very young age to look in his own inner and innermost thoughts, into his own intellect, into his own reason, and his own contemplation and feelings. And from that he learned self-responsibility, and he started to understand the world of plants and animals and the creational laws and recommendations. And when he was about 5 years old, he started to have a tremendous acceleration in his understanding. Let me read what it says here. It says, "Thus, according to my cognition, however, there was still very much more than only the instructive educational moments and usual learning which an earthling just learns in everyday life from peers, parents, grandparents, and so forth. So I recognized that, in spite of my young age, I was a human being like every other human being, only that I could not fit into the ranks of adults because my years of growing up still separated me from them. Therefore, because of this and other things, I longed to grow up quickly, indeed, in matters pertaining to the consciousness." So that's where we need to be. We need to grow up quickly in matters pertaining to our consciousness. And that's where this book, The Might of Thoughts, Macht der Gedanken, comes in to play here. He says, "Just as much as in matters pertaining to body and age, I wanted to grow up, and quickly it became clear to me that I could not turn the wheel of time in order for it to run faster." So it's the same way with your learning this material. You cannot turn the wheel of time faster. You have to plug along day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, and continue to evaluate your thoughts. Continue to ask yourself, am I confident? Am I optimistic? You should always be confident and optimistic. These are the two things, because what happens is you'll lose confidence. You'll face a problem at work. You're like, I don't know what to do about this, man. This is difficult. And there goes your confidence. So you need to bring your confidence back. You need to say, I am confident. And you can clarify that. You can say, look what I've solved in the past, or I'm a very creative person, and this is just an opportunity for me to use my creativity. But Billy had this really profound experience on a mild night in May in 1941 at 3 a.m. It was a Sunday night on May 4th. It's etched in his memory. He slept and dreamed that he saw his own body lying asleep in the bed. And he made the observation that he really was asleep, and which caused him to wake up. A little drowsy, he looked out the window, and he saw this clear, starry sky. and he climbed out a lower window in his bedroom. And outside, he sat down on the simple bench which stood against the wall of his house, which his father had built. He could not see the moon, however, the sky was clear and wrapped in a velvety black, and millions of stars shone down from the firmament. For a few moments, I sat there like that and looked up to the stars while wondering in my thoughts, flying far into the universe. So he's having a little imagination here, like, what would it be like to fly out there and into the deep cosmos, to the deep universe? And then suddenly, something peculiar happened inside of me, he says, which for the moment irrevocably changed my whole life. Strangely touched, I looked at my hands and my body, and I could only vaguely recognize them. So I touched my body and felt it, and then I heard my own voice say, "My life is made out of the love of creation." And I could not explain why I said that, and which power led me to speak these words. A slight shiver came over me, although the night was quite warm, and then I noticed that I also felt peculiar. However, nevertheless, I was not frightened. And this is this incredible experience that Billy went through at a very, very young age. And he, at this time, first comes into contact with this whole idea of this universal love. And he puts it this way, he says, "Everything is created out of the light of love." And then he said, "The space between the stars." And that exists in everything that exists in the whole universe is a living vision. Everything is creation and creation itself. So everything in the universe is one. It's all bound together. And this is something I certainly have not learned and understood yet. Because we see ourselves as separate. We see ourselves as separate people. And the cat is I'm not the cat, I'm not my cats, I'm not my dog, you know, they're different than me. But in some sense, they're just you, and we're all one in some sense. And he continues here. "The words which came from my mouth penetrated deeply into me. And in them, I recognize that the true source of life is the light of true creational love, which in its vitality creates all life and contains within itself all laws and all recommendations of creational order and all information about life and death." So, which brings me back to reincarnation. You have this spirit form, and it's in your middle brain, and it's a fragment of the universal consciousness. Now, most human beings have spirit forms that, and you may be shocked to hear this, your spirit form is probably 4 million years old if you're a typical human being here on Earth. Now, you could even have an older spirit form if you came to the Earth before 12,000 years ago. About 12,000 years ago was the great war between Atlantis and Lemuria, and our planet was changed in a very dramatic way then. It was knocked off of its axis. And before it was knocked off of its axis, we had no seasons. We just had a beautiful summertime all the time. That's my understanding. And in fact, the North Pole, polar region, was beautiful. It was an area of, I mean, trees all over the place with all kinds of fruit all the time. It was like a perfect climate. We lived in literally a paradise before our planet was knocked off its axis about 11,500 years ago, when a gigantic meteor was intentionally slammed into our planet. There were two warring factions, the Atlanteans and the people from Mu. And Mu was this gigantic city in the Gobi Desert. And it also had an underground aspect to it, Agartha Alpha and Agartha Beta, which were connected by these underground caverns. So according to Meyer information, I can't prove this, but there's a lot of researchers that are on the same path of this, Brian Forrester, among others. Graham Hancock, who recognizes that about 12,000 years ago, there was a gigantic catastrophe on our world that was created by human beings that were here from another world. They were just human beings. They weren't gods. They weren't angels. They weren't devils, although they acted like devils sometimes. They almost destroyed this beautiful blue and green world that we have because they were locked in this titanic struggle, because their thinking was derailed and they weren't in a neutral, positive, equalized thinking. And if we can maintain the harmony in our thinking, we can not repeat this calamity. The Great Pyramid, which is 73,000 years old, according to the Meyer information, is standing there as a beacon to us, as the evidence of what we can do with neutral, positive thinking. We can create things that are just beyond our imagination right now. But it's all about your thinking. If you get unbalanced in your thinking, you can become a criminal. You can destroy your whole life and everything in one day by wrong thinking. But you need to make the effort to clarify your thoughts, because identify a good thought first. Say, I am confident. Now let's clarify that thought. What does it mean to clarify the thought? It means to make it less confused and make it more clearly comprehensible. If you're confident, say, I'm confident because I know I want to achieve this goal. I'm confident because I know I'm going to persevere and continue working on this. I'm confident because I know I'm creative and I'm going to continue to look for the solution to this problem. I know I'm confident because I have friends and family that also can help me out in certain places. I'm confident because I just believe in myself. So if you clarify your thoughts, the thoughts become more valuable to you. And that's the important thing. Because if you clarify your thoughts, they become clear, easier to understand. The confusion goes away. The ambiguity goes away. There's a lot of confusion among human beings. And we often live in a state of confusion. And it's because we've had negative thoughts. And whoever has negative thoughts will soon allow himself to be controlled by them. Negative thoughts are incredibly powerful too. And they are just like weeds in a garden. They will grow wildly. So avoid confusion in your life. Think a positive thought and then clarify that thought. It takes effort. It takes practice. It takes patience. But it will lead to a harmonious life. And one of our vocabulary words here is assiduousness. And to be assiduous, to have assiduousness, means that you are persevering and you're meticulous. So we're acting with a purpose, with an intention. We're trying to achieve something. And this is the principle of striving. And striving is one of these creational natural laws. Every plant, every animal, every insect, even, is striving in some way. Look at a bee. Look at the bees. They build this huge nest. Look at the ants. They do the same thing. They build this huge structure on the ground. I mean, huge from the perspective of their scale. And the bees produce a honey. And a beaver builds a dam, striving. So all nature is programmed with the need to strive and the importance to keep striving. And striving is critical for the human being to understand. But you're not here on this earth to indulge yourself in whatever pleasure is your favorite, whether it's sex, drugs, or rock and roll. And that's why it's so disturbing about these people in the Vatican, like Monsignor Luigi Capozzi, who was having a drug-induced, cocaine-induced gay orgy in his apartment there. And this is what's going on in the Vatican, because our religions are so off base. They're so absurdly corrupted beyond anything. And Billy warns about religions. And stay away from religion. If you want confusion, get involved in religion. And religion produces an embedded confusion, which not only affects you, but it affects your offspring. Let's instead learn to clarify our thoughts. And then our thoughts will become more and more clarified, because our consciousness is like a garden. And we can fill it with beautiful plants. Or we can allow it to become filled with weeds. These negative thoughts, which repeat in an endless cycle. Your negative thoughts can destroy you. Don't let them, because that which the human being thinks, he makes real. Good and positive thoughts must be tended and nurtured. The human being should have a good, positive opinion of himself, because that which the human being thinks, he makes real. And that which the human being thinks about himself, he becomes. So if you become a criminal, a felon, a miser, and so forth, that's because you have maintained wrong thoughts for a long time. So avoid these wrong thoughts. And never underestimate the power of your thoughts. You could be in the worst set of circumstances in your whole life. Do not become depressed. Do not become emotional. Start striving. Striving is part of The Way to Live, which is another book Billy's written. The creation itself, as well as all its creatures, and Wesenheiten, is imbued with the power of striving in order to attain success. The future progress and that which is higher. Striving is the power of the spiritual as well as the physical. And striving is an incontrovertible creational law. In order to reach through incessant evolution that which is higher and absolutely fully developed, the greatest power in every single vision is there to serve the striving. And truthfully, striving is this great and enormous power in itself. So it's really funny, because we strive by nature. There are people that are having great prosperity in their life because they didn't even know this principle, but they just lived by it naturally. They just did it. They started doing it, and they went from one thing to another, and they kept striving all the time striving, and they are the successful people in this world. They may be, superstars in athletics, or they may be an architect in the software world, or a great scientist. And these are people that have just their whole nature, their whole life, followed these creational laws, not even knew what they were necessarily, and they've just followed this law of striving. The greatest power in every single Wesen, that's our personality, is there to striving, serve the striving. Truthfully, the striving is this great and enormous power itself. Striving is the law, and means ancient. Striving is an ancient law of all evolution and of all absolutely full development. Striving is the power of your life. It's the sense of progress. If the striving is absent, some life form, then the power of the progress extinguishes, and thereby the sense of life. So if you're at a point in your life where your sense of life has faded away and you really don't seem to have much of a sense of life, look to the power of striving. Look to the power of striving again. Because striving will help you to attract into your life the things that you need. Correct thinking and knowledge is a monstrous power that is able to ceaselessly attract and bring into being everything which the human being thinks and longs for. So the whole idea that the religions teach now, they teach this notion of a God, a Heavenly Father. There is a superintelligence, but you are in charge of your own life. You really choose your own destiny every moment of every day through your striving, through your focus. And that's where your inner freedom comes. Another thing that this teaching, what we're doing is talking about the spiritual teachings. It gives you inner freedom. And if you have and follow the spiritual teachings, you will have an inner freedom. If you don't follow the spiritual teachings, you will have an inner negative state of inner imprisonment. And you will be a slave to your own thoughts, and you'll create bad circumstances in your life by default. It's because of your unconscious and subconscious thoughts. So you have the power to create circumstances in your life. One of the things you need to avoid is addictions of any kind, because addictions rule the thoughts, whether it's sex addictions or addictions to your own desires or drug addictions. You need to think and be aware of your unconscious mind. Your unconscious mind is a great power, and it functions automatically. And be careful, because your unconscious mind can start to steer your life. You don't want that to happen either. Because if your unconscious mind and its powers are ruling your life, i.e. through addictions, then you'll have a self-created suffering. And what you need is harmony in your own thinking. And harmony in your own thinking will lead to self-control. And self-control will free you from unconscious perceptions. Because unconscious, there's great power in the unconscious, but it often leads to a disturbing of the emotions. The power of the unconscious can manifest in anger and rage. And anger is a violent, uncontained outburst. But what you want are not reactions from emotion, but you want feelings. There's a difference. Feelings come out of the thinking, where emotions arise spontaneously. You want your thoughts to have feelings associated with them, because they can be steered. The unconscious mind is not completely open to introspection, but you have to realize that it's there. And your unconscious mind can lead to depressions and the flattening of feelings. You want to make yourself more of a conscious thinker. Because if you're not a conscious thinker, you can deceive yourself. And such individuals, like people, have you seen the people that create the stigmata on their bodies? They have these, and they're produced by the power of the unconscious mind. And the automatic thoughts are one of the biggest problems because they are unconsciously tended and nurtured. You want to make everything conscious as possible. And constantly focus your thoughts. Say to yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful. Don't let your unconscious mind lead you. Do not drift, because unconscious thinking can be learned. You'll create synapses in your brain from these unconscious thoughts, and it can negatively affect your health. It can affect your appearance. You will be enslaved by your unconscious thoughts. The conscious mind identifies information. It compares information. It does analysis. Conscious mind makes decisions. The unconscious mind can lead you down a very dark path. So set clear zeals, which are kind of like culmination points, and strive towards these things. Unconscious things can occur. Free yourself from your unconscious selfishness, and because this selfishness will degenerate into extremes. You'll be very immoderate. You want to focus more on a magnanimous level. You want to be generous. You want to be forgiving. You want to be more intellectual and less focused on emotions. And you know what? Dreaming is a good thing. Visions, fantasies are very good. These can be steered into positive areas. And the dreamers, the visionaries, are the people that bring prosperity to all of us. But do not let your thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. Steer those thoughts. Be confident. Be optimistic. Be cheerful, relaxed, enthusiastic. Be thankful. And optimism is very, very important. It's hopefulness. It's confidence. It's a mental attitude. It's a worldview. Optimism positively affects other people. Optimism remains consciously hopeful despite all of the difficulties that it may face. So this learning how to think is incredibly important. It's the key to your happiness in life. It's the key to your success in life. Understanding these principles is dramatically very, very important. Remember, your spirit form is very ancient. It lives in the center of your middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus. It reincarnates into new physical bodies, and you get a new personality with each lifetime and a new material consciousness with each lifetime. And programmed into your subconscious are the evolutive values of your previous life. And that's where you were in terms of your evolution in the last life. And you will be impulsed by your subconscious. And those impulses will steer and guide you into what you should be doing on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. Learn to be guided by that inner self. Your inner spiritual eye is the real you. It will never send you down the wrong path. So you need to be thinking good thoughts, because good thoughts lead to good feelings, and good feelings lead to good circumstances in your life, because you'll produce good habits. You see, if you don't steer your thoughts, you'll produce bad habits in your life. And these bad habits start to take over. That's where we get addictions. Whether it's smoking, drinking, sex, pornography, whatever, choose your own poison. These are things which will pull you into degeneracy. You'll degenerate your body and your mind with these things. So we're looking for an internal harmony which will lead to a evolution of our consciousness. And striving is one of the greatest ways to achieve that evolution. If striving is absent in some life form, then the power of the progress extinguishes. So we want to avoid that, because that will also extinguish your sense of life. Striving is the real nature of the human being. So don't let that inner nature be nullified. There's a lot in our world today. Television, YouTube, certain kinds of worthless music will all nullify your sense of striving. And if you're feeling like you don't have a place in this world anymore, it's because your striving's been undermined. You may have to go through an incredible, accelerated stage of striving. I've gone through these. Boy, it's crazy. You'll be like working 70 hours a week. It's like every moment of your life is focused on working towards some goal. It's very, very challenging. Sometimes we have to go through those stages. So you can become displeased or suicidal. If you're not striving, if you're in one of those times of your life where you're supposed to be totally focused in your striving, but you're not, you can become suicidal. Be very, very careful. If striving of humanity were to stop, to collapse, if no person was striving, the entire world would collapse in the chaos, and it would be the end of our society. Without striving, there is no life. Without life, there is no striving. Without life and striving, there would be no evolution. So everything is evolution. Everything is striving. And in order to make your striving enjoyable, you have to master your thought. You need to be confident. You need to be optimistic. You need to be relaxed. You need to be cheerful. You need to be enthusiastic. And you need to be thankful. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.